Blog Talk Radio.
You can run on for a long time. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
All right, everybody. It's Monday night, and this is the Constitution Hour coming at you with a little Johnny Cash. Guys, the Constitution Hour is brought to you by Patriot Families with a YS.com. That's Patriot Families with a YS.com. If you guys, I know most of you in the chat room. Travis, good to see you. FT, nice to have you with us tonight. I think Mr. Rod Luke is having a little trouble getting in. That happens, of course, with the Blog Talk Radio. But if you guys aren't a member, if you're listening tonight and you're not a member at Patriot Families, I would encourage you, please stop by the site. And, you know, guys, while I'm talking about the Patriot Families website, and that's www.patriotfamilieswithays.com, while I'm speaking of the website, you know, we need to be more active on the website. I'm guilty. We all are. I know we get off chasing, tilting at windmills, and we neglect to spend a lot of time at the website. And I really miss the times that we used to have chit-chatting. I know Chuck Morris had pointed out the other day, you know, he really missed the exchanges we used to carry on in the chat room. And I think Blog Talk has kind of filled in part of that. And so we've used the Blog Talk Radio programs as kind of a crutch, and we've kind of steered away from the Patriot Families website as much. We don't spend as much time there. And I know, you know, guys, I realize there's so much going on in everybody's lives. But I sure would like to have our family members back together and chit-chatting on the Patriot Family's website. Really kind of miss that interaction. And, you know, if you're not a member and you're hearing us maybe for the first time, you know, stop by and see what we're about. It's one of the few places on the internet, or anywhere for that matter, where the name family really means something. We truly are like an extended family. We don't all agree, just like any other family. I don't know any family on the planet where everyone agrees with everything Crazy Uncle Joe says, and I'm probably Crazy Uncle Joe, but that's okay. Every family's got one. Tag, I'm it. But seriously, stop by Patriot Families. And, you know, we've got a full lineup during the week. Tomorrow night, right here at 7 p.m., we have the Hoot and Holler Show with Bill Strong and some of his extended family from up in Indiana. And they do a good show here on Tuesday nights. Then Wednesday nights, we have our very own, a real heroine in my eyes, Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. And Miss Linda has been very active out in California fighting Agenda 21, Common Core, and so much of this other garbage that is being foisted upon us on a daily basis from those who purport to be our public servants. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way that we correct the errors that are done in our name is to voice our opinion, stand up and be heard, and tell our public officials that we're simply not going to tolerate this kind of behavior. And if enough of us do that, we will get their attention, because after all, as Jeb Bush said today, not worried about having a message, the first thing we need to do is win the election. And boys and girls, that's really what these folks are concerned with, is winning the election. After that, then we can worry about the other things that need to be done. And we've got a caller here, area code 812. I'm going to bring that caller on. Area code 812, you're on the Constitution Hour. How can I help you?
Well, Brother Ron, I was just calling in to listen.
Oh, well, I apologize, Bill. I thought that was you.
Southern Indiana.
I thought that was you, sir.
While you were on that subject, it's like they're trying to force our hand in till we either take a Hillary to lead us into Agenda 21 and a global elite government, or we have Jeb Bush lead us into a Agenda 21 globalist elite government.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. You know, what Jeb came out and said, and I don't know if he said it today or yesterday or, you know, 10 years ago, and quite honestly, it doesn't really matter to me when he said it, but the fact of the matter is, you're absolutely correct. Let's not bother with substance. Let's not bother with stating a position. Let's concern ourselves with winning the election, and then we can worry about substance. That rings hollow to me, and it sounds a whole lot like Nancy Pelosi. Well, we're going to have to pass the bill before we can know what's in it. You know, I don't see a distinction there between the two. They both seem to be practically, for all intents and purposes, identical statements.
Well,
maybe couched a little differently, but, you know.
They're both out supporting the same things, amnesty for illegals, Common Core, things like this. And if the public can't see that, and then realize we've been too long in the Clinton-Bush wrongs. It's time to kick them down the road.
Well, and, you know, for me, the illegal immigration argument, it's, I suppose from a humanitarian standpoint, it's a tough sell. And I say that because I don't hate, you know, anyone because they're not Anglo-Saxon, white, American, English, you know, that doesn't, That's not the rub. And I feel bad for these people. And I've been to Mexico several times, and I know what real poverty looks like. In fact, I've lived myself in real poverty. I know what it's like to live on the street. At the same time, that situation is not of my making, okay? I didn't force servitude and poverty on these people, nor do I condone it. But at the same time, those people that are my elected servants, okay, and the law in general, the elected public servants are there to do one thing. They are there to enforce the laws that create the structure of what we call a social compact or society. We have a constitution that sets the framework for a federal government, and each state has its own state constitution, which sets the framework for the state government, how it is to be comprised, how people are to be elected. And there are certain duties and obligations that those public servants, elected officials, have. They have an obligation, a duty, to the people that elected them. And that duty is entailed in enforcing the laws or carrying out the regulations that have been put in place in the law in each of those respective categories, whether it's in the state or the federal government. And, you know, our founders, when we look at our Constitution, we read that, I know, that, you know, poorly written, grossly outdated document that probably should just be done away with. I mean, that, my God, only natural-born citizens can be elected president, and there's a lot of good people through no fault of their own who were born by cesarean section who can't serve as president because they weren't born naturally. But there is a purpose. There is a purpose behind all of this, you know? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Are we paying attention? Establish justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. We don't want the natives getting restless, and I believe that currently we are getting restless. Provide for the common defense. That's everybody, not just one or two. Promote the general welfare. Again, that's everyone collectively, one huge collective, not a few special interests. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That would be our children and our grandchildren. That's the reason we establish government. That is the whole purpose that government is established. It is to protect and safeguard an individual's private property. Because you see, if we didn't have the ability to have a remedy at law, if there were no written laws, then no one would know what his duty or obligation was to his fellow neighbor, because there are no laws. Well, I didn't know it wasn't okay for me to steal the 5-gallon gas can out of your garage. It's not stealing. It was just sitting there and you weren't using it. So I figured it would be okay. No, we have laws about that. That's called a trespass. And there's a tort, and a tort is a physical trespass to someone's damage to someone's person or property. This is why we have laws. It comes down to property. Whether it's an individual's intellectual property, the fruits of their mind, the dexterity of their hands, their labor, their home, their papers, right? Don't we have a Fourth Amendment about being secure in their person, places, and papers? Their family, their children, their wife, their own life, that's property. You know, I realize that in certain contexts, the idea that your wife is property has a negative connotation, but that's not the case here. It's not meant to be derogatory. We have laws to protect personal, private property. That's the long and the short of it. That's what the law is for. It's not for anything else. It's not to make sure that you get steak three times a week. It's not to make sure that you have a babysitter for the 14 little Johnnies that you've spit out. It's not to make sure that you have a roof over your head. No, it's to make sure that if you achieve a roof over your head, there are laws to protect what's yours, what belongs to you. And what your elected officials are doing by ignoring the written law as it's written, by not enforcing the immigration laws as they're written, they are encouraging your neighbors from other countries, whether it be from the south, the north, or all directions in between, they are encouraging and giving the green light to your neighbors from other regions of the world to come and steal what the government has stolen from you, to come and collect part of the booty that has been stolen from you. And they're using this influx to show that, you see, there's this need. There's this need that needs to be filled. And how can you be so dispassionate to these poor, starving masses?
You know, on that, Ron, I got to ask the question then. What do you call it when you keep aiding a country that apparently teaches treats their people like crap so much that they got to flee their country to here, but you keep aiding and abetting that country?
Well, and you know,
I understand why. I've been to a lot of these countries outside, and I've seen the poverty that many Americans will never see. And what good does it do you to flee a country and leave so many others back there to drudge in that? If that was happening here, I'd like to think that the public would be rising up and we'd be changing things and turning things around. But I don't see that happening there.
Well, and, you know, to use the liberal ideology, I think we should be asking, why are these people that are fleeing to the United States, why are they being so selfish in fleeing and leaving all those poor people behind? I mean, how selfish and greedy do you have to be to leave behind your whole family and you know, just walk away from your obligations because it's just too difficult for you to bear? I mean, that's the kind of snarky argument that would come from the progressive left.
We don't need to stick our nose in their business. I don't understand that. You stick your nose in everybody else's business.
Well, hell, our nose is in everybody's business and has been for decades. We know that. So to me, the question becomes, you know, you're simply, government is simply utilizing the plight of the poor and the illegals who come here illegally because of poverty, because of terrible conditions. They're using their plight to justify continuing to steal your property, the very property that they were elected to protect and preserve and defend. You see, it becomes this circular logic. It's a self-fulfilling logic. There's an agenda,
Ron,
behind that.
You and I,
yes, sir.
No, Ron. If we was to try to take in everybody who is dissatisfied with the country they live in, we would look like Hong Kong coast to coast.
Well, and you know, I don't have a problem with millions of immigrants coming here, but, and I don't even have a problem if you don't want to assimilate, okay, into our culture, because I have no idea what the hell that is anymore, to be honest. I don't have any clue what American culture is anymore. But the fact of the matter is, I got no problem. You can bring millions a day into the United States. There is a procedure in place to go through. We're not heartless. We don't just want to burn them at the stake, for God's sakes. But there is a procedure. All we ask is, hey, we understand. I get it. You know, it was really bad. You know, your uncle Guido was beating the hell out of you, and you had to get out of there. We get it. Let's fill out this paperwork together. I'll help you walk through it. And there's going to be some rules. There's some things we expect. And there's a process here, and we can do this. Together, we can do it. You know, it's not difficult. But if you want to be separate, if you don't want to be a part of us, you want to be separate, and you want to be in the shadows, and you don't want to follow the rules, well, then I've got an issue with that. Because then what you're doing is you're stealing from me, and you're stealing from my posterity, okay? And one of the reasons that this country was founded was to ensure liberty to myself and to my posterity. And what's happening, because you've created this need, this presumable need, and because my government, and through our benevolence, they're robbing me of my liberty to support you. Not only are they robbing me, they're robbing my posterity. My children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are going to be paying the bill for you. And I think that you're going to owe me a little something in return. There has to be some quid pro quo here. This cannot be, ladies and gentlemen, a one-way street. It cannot be. If all you want is a one-way street, then, you know, I'm sorry, but you just need to take your ass on back home, because that's not how I play this game.
A fair immigration policy would be bringing equal amounts from all places. What we have is an overwhelmingly one place is overwhelming the system, and by doing that, because others have to come in through planes, ships, and stuff, and they can't come in as just crossing the border.
As readily. Sure.
Yeah. You know.
And, Bill, you already know that that's part of the agenda, to overwhelm the system. You know that.
Hi, Miss Linda. I know these people are being used.
Precisely.
To bring about an agenda. But once the agenda is brought about, then they no longer will be serving a purpose, and they will be eliminated.
Yeah, they'll be discarded.
You know, when you talk about the southern borders, the fact that they happen to be brown-skinned and they happen to be of Mexican heritage is because of the proximity. Now, if that particular landmass was filled with little North Korean-looking people, those would be the ones we were dealing with. Okay, because it is too damned easy to crawl across the border. We don't do anything about it.
It's plus expedient.
So it's just, you know, certain people can't swim that far.
But I had a little meeting with the Mexican consulate. He and I both agreed on one thing. The only people that are encouraging these people to do this, come here illegally, are people who are trying to take advantage of them in one way or another.
Certainly.
Either by a vote or just by overwhelming systems.
And when you talk about the people leaving, of course, you can understand why they leave. They have a poverty situation. It's a third world country. It's not good. And you can look around the world to find this. You can go to Rwanda. You can go to North Korea, and Mexico. And they have evil governments. They have very oppressed governments. How the hell do you revolt there without getting jailed or shot? See, it's not, you know, they can't stand up.
Whoa, whoa. I'll tell you how you do that, Linda. you gather 30 million north of the border of your people that have fled that country, and then when you got 30 million of you, you all get together, you go back and you do something.
Well, and you know, the thing, Bill, you raise a really good point, and it's the people in, what was it, Oaxaca, Mexico, outside of Mexico City. They demonstrated that very thing. They decided, you know, we've had enough of this garbage, and they took the law into their own hands because their local law enforcement and their federales down there were utterly corrupt. They armed themselves, and they began enforcing the law, and they, by God, made a difference. And you see, that's all it takes, people, is for people to get up off of their backsides and take control. You talk about leadership. Those people for decades have been looking for a leader, and finally they had had it. They'd had enough, and they stood up and said, screw this. The only way it's going to get done is if we roll up our sleeves and do it ourselves.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. And that's what needs to happen in this country right here. I get so worked up. I'm telling you, guys, I get so pissed off. I got to play this. It'll only take a second. But this is how I feel.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home, 'cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
That's where I'm at, folks.
I know. You know, I will give you some good news and a little ray of hope. Even in California, I think it was up in, I don't know which part of California, but Tim Donnelly, who's running for governor, and we all of the conservatives down here just love him, and he was on with this parent, a woman, on Glenn Beck's show, talking about with this Common Core thing, and the child was handing out to his fellow students an opt-out form so they could take it to their parents, and the school, of course, had a hissy fit, put a restraining order on the mother. I mean, it was just a big mess. But anyway, at some of these meetings where Tim Donnelly and these and this woman have gone to about this Common Core, they're coming out in droves in California. They're waking up very quickly, and they're screaming about this. They are ticked. The teachers are ticked. The parents, the kids, and this movement is gaining speed. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, and something else I want to touch on, because I just find it utterly humorous. Sean Hannity tonight on my way home, and you know, I apologize for listening to, I'm not Hannitized, you know. My buddy Mike, when he really wants to rattle my cage, he calls up and I answer the phone and he says, "You're a great American," and I'm like, "Screw you, Mike," you know. But nonetheless, Mr. Hannity on the way home tonight, he said, "You know, I'm a real libertarian. I almost crashed the frickin' car."
My God.
I'm like, "Oh my God, the transition is nearly complete." That guy is the biggest gas bag. Any way the wind blows, he flip-flops more than frickin' John Kerry.
That's bad.
But I'm encouraged at the same time, because when you have someone like a dyed-in-the-wool, you know, neoconservative like Mr. Hannity proclaiming his libertarianism, what does that tell you about libertarianism and its popularity today versus, I don't know, 2005? I'd say it's a little more mainstream today than it used to be.
True.
And how ironic is it, and you know, as I was saying earlier about Jeb Bush, how ironic is it that you've got the staunch dyed-in-the-wool party line Republicans, and is there really any difference in what the hell they're saying and what the progressive morons on the Democrat side of the party are saying?
You know, go ahead, Bill.
What I've always said, we need a T-shirt. GOP establishment, Democrat, same crap, just two different piles.
It's so true. No,
it's the government party. It's two different arms of the government party. That's, you know, now there's your T-shirt.
Yeah, it's a tentacle. In fact, there's one guy that comes over to my friend's house in the evenings, and he has a shirt, and I says, "I need one of those, Noel, because I need to wear it in front of my city council meetings. it says, instead of that movie, I See Dead People, it says, I See Stupid People. It was hysterical, absolutely. And on Facebook today, I was blogging because they were talking about, you know, what Jeb Bush was saying and that he's the one that's going to be the front runner and going up against Hildebeest. And I said, no way, Jose. I said, if they push this SOB down our throats, I will vilify him as much as I do her. I will have pictures. Believe me, there will be no mercy on either one of them. None from me.
But look, how long ago did I tell you guys that he's the one they're going to shove up your butt?
Oh, my God. Well, what happened, what I found out was we haven't even had it. It's supposed to be on the 11th of this month, which is Friday, and I may not make it because it's kind of early, and I'm going to be dealing with a family funeral on Thursday. But the idiot Hildebeest was supposed to have some kind of a speech down at the convention center in San Diego, and she got wind of the fact that this protest against her was going to be huge. Because we have a big military town here, and they know about Benghazi, and they don't like her. And so she canceled her appearance, and they were going to do it via Skype type of situation or whatever, have her piped in that way. But the protest is still continuing to go on because we're not giving up on fighting her. And I'm sure that all the people who are starting to get it now are going to go against Bush the same way, with the same ferocity, believe me.
Yeah, Travis asked if I'm confusing Hannity with Mike Huckster. No. I was listening on Sirius Satellite Patriot Channel,
yeah.
and listening to Hannity, and it was interesting because he had the lead spokesman on for the Log Cabin Republicans. That's the homosexual Republicans, and some other go. Gay Republicans or some other such group, you know. And look, I understand there are queers out there that, you know, are just as staunch neoconservative jackasses as there are straight people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did I say Mike Hannity? Maybe. No. My buddy, I think you're mishearing me, Travis. My buddy Mike, Mike Roper, when he calls me and he wants to stir me up, he tells me that I'm a great American, and because he knows I want to punch him in the nose when he tells me that, because he knows that I, for lack of any other entertainment, listen to Sean Hannity, not because I believe what he says, but because I like to hear what the opposition.
Right.
Is spewing, you know. So you got to, I mean, honestly, you do. You got to keep on top of those things. So, no, I didn't. Definitely would not confuse Mike the Huckster Huckabee and Sean the Sham Hannity. No, I'm fully aware of the two of those and who they are.
If you was to look up ALIPAC, ALIPAC, large capital letters, ALIPAC boycotts Huckabee. Down the list there, you'll see my name as the head of choice where we boycotted Huckabee for his amnesty stance the last time he dropped out.
Well, you know, lot of people, and during the election, and I tried to tell people this, go look up Mike the Huckster Huckabee's record. You know, the one thing, and this should be an example to everyone paying attention just how shallow many of the American people truly are. Because Mr. Huckabee was a Baptist preacher or a minister, he had their vote.
Wow.
Didn't matter what his politics were, didn't matter what his record was, kind of like our current president, Barack Barry Satoru Hussein Obama, got many votes simply because of how he looks.
Sickening.
It's no different, okay? And if do you know who Mike the Huckster Huckabee replaced in the political spectrum?
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that's correct. Slick Willie moved out. Mike the Huckster moved in. And do you know that he kept, I believe the figure is 78% of Bill Clinton's staff.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, it wasn't like he was a big turnaround for the state of Arkansas. I think just more of the same cronyism.
Different files, yeah.
Precisely.
I always have a problem with the fact you're a minister. Then you need to be doing your work in God's house, not the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the other thing that I think it was two or three times when the Huckster was caught by people who are more discerning about this Common Core thing, and I think Glenn figured it out as well, because in his staff they said, yeah, he not only was for it before, now he's just saying, oh, well, yeah, well, let's keep it. Let's just change the names, you know, like a good true progressive would do. So, and this right-left RD, you know, I mean, and then you've got to discern who. Yeah.
Simply two different arms of the government party.
The tentacles, yeah. Giant tentacles.
That's all it is. It's a left, the left arm or the right arm of the government party. We need to stop calling them Democrats and Republicans because they're just different members of the same body.
That's
and,
true.
You know, while we're on the subject, let's take a look at what it is that government is doing, the agenda, the direction that we're moving. You know, Bill and I, we were talking earlier in the show about the purpose of government, the purpose of laws, why we even have laws, and that's to form a society. And in a society, we need ground rules, and those rules are there. Truly, if you just boil it all down to the most basic principles, it is to safeguard private property in all its various forms. Because if there is no safety, if there is no guarantee of security of private property, well, then, you know, what's the point? And you have no society, and you descend into anarchy, right? There is a political ideology, if I'm not mistaken, out there, that promotes the idea of no private property ownership. I think it was called Marxism.
And if everybody would read their county's comprehensive plan, you'll see many counties already have it in their plans to do that, to take away private property.
Sure they do. With every fiber that they can, every method that they can. Yeah, it's funny because when I was having my friend who I don't even know what affiliation she is, it doesn't matter, but she owns her own home, so she's a person who wants to protect her private property as well. And when she was reading the actual in-depth tenets of Agenda 21, those words weren't actually on the page, but talking about you know, some of the things that Maurice Strong had been quoted saying, and she had finished like a page and a half. She looks at me and she goes, "This is communism." And I go, "Yes, it is. Thank you for recognizing that."
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've hashed this argument 100 times, but the reality is that there are a few ideologies out there, political or social ideologies, which would be socialism, communism, Marxism, fascism, all of which
are progressivism,
don't want to recognize an individual's right to private property. Period.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
now people can roll their eyes.
Statism.
Right. People can roll their eyes and you know, say, "Oh, well, you're really, boy, that's a stretch," and this, that, and the other. Hey, you know, that's fine. If you're too ignorant, naive, or dishonest to call a spade,
sure,
that's okay. You're entitled to your own opinion. I don't have a problem with that. You can call up and I'll debate you about it. That makes life interesting.
Right.
I don't take it personally unless you're personally trying to take things that belong to me. And I don't give a damn what you're going to use them for. I don't care if you're going to use them to house, you know, widows and orphans. That's my choice, not yours. If you want to do that, use your own property to do that. You're perfectly within your rights to do so. But you cross the line when you want to commandeer my property for your own self-aggrandizement, to pat yourself on the back or to be seen as benevolent in your own eyes or the eyes of others. You know, everyone seems to be very charitable with other people's money, but not so much with their own. And that's really the hypocrisy I see out of a lot of these idiots, you know. They do not mind one moment being charitable with everyone else's property. Yeah, far be it from them to be charitable with their own.
Yeah,
much like Miss Pelosi and the minimum wage law, but she doesn't want to raise the minimum wage for those folks in American Samoa who are part of her district. I mean, seriously, she has a vested interest there.
It's so true.
That would negatively impact her, or at least in her mind it would.
Winery should have had the water shut off to them like the rest of the valleys did. The water somehow kept flowing to Pelosi's wineries.
Well, no, we know how they get special everything because they are the ones actually with they're wielding the power, and that's because we let them do it.
Today we're seeing a Democrat screaming, "Congress needs a raise."
Oh yes, they're so damn destitute now.
As soon as they divulge their inside investments and trades they've got into since being in office, then we'll talk about it.
Hey, you know, that's the fast track to being a millionaire is getting elected to Congress, for God's sake.
Heck, they're already millionaires. A lot of them.
The majority of them, if they're not a millionaire when they go into Congress, you can damn well rest assured that when they leave, they are. And I don't care if they serve one term or 10. There's a lot of them that go into Congress or into military service, you know, that become move up the ranks. Once you get that general, that first star on your uniform, well, now you're a damned hot commodity, and you can get a job with just about any defense contractor on the planet making millions.
Wow, disgusting.
It is disgusting. And that's the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about. And that is only but one small, narrow avenue from which to fleece from the public their hard-earned property.
Now, I got no problem cutting out wasteful spending out of the military. But I do have a problem when you're cutting billions out, you're hurting the soldiers, their families and stuff. At the same time, you're giving billions of dollars and weaponry to the Muslim Brotherhood in four or five different countries at once.
Well, you know, this is one of the paradoxes of government, and it's one of the paradoxes that I think should, and I don't think most Americans even contemplate the paradox of sending tens of thousands of dollars in tax money to an institution or a group that actively and admittedly supports terrorist groups. That's a felony. That is a federal offense that can get your ass locked in jail. Hell, that could get you into Gitmo.
But who's enforcing any laws, Ron? We got immigration.
Well, you know, they're selectively enforced, Bill. We realize that.
Disgusting.
You know, the gatekeepers are the ones that are enforcing the laws, right? And they enforce the law as they see fit, not as the law is written. It's all subjective. It depends. Is it any different than the ACA and all the large corporations that get breaks and you know, extensions, and, oh, we're going to put this off and we'll make an exception for this company or we'll make an exception for that corporation because they're big campaign contributors to Party A or Party B, the left or the right arm. You know, people like to make out that, you know, for some reason we have this false sense, this false ideology in the United States of America that corporate America and Wall Street donate gobs and gobs of money to the right arm of the government party, but they neglect the poor, withered left arm of the government party. Well, nothing could be further from the truth because we know that they hedge their bets and they play both sides of the body, okay? I mean, they're geared up and they donate lots of money to the left arm of the government party, and they also donate lots of money to the right arm. You know, I think every American should go back and watch that movie with Eddie Murphy, The Distinguished Gentleman.
Yeah.
Because that movie, I think, put into the best perspective politics in the United States. When he was newly elected and the people were telling him, oh, hell, it doesn't matter which side you want to be on. If you're against it, we got money from this group and this group and this group. And if you're for it, we got money from this group, that group, and that group. So, hell, you know, it doesn't matter which side you come down on, brother. We got you covered, and you're going to make a mint.
Well, it seems to me that since we really don't have the real rule of law anymore, that we seem to have the rule of men, and that's what they found their spot against. But here we are.
Well, see, that's supposed to be, that is supposed to be one of the tenets of codifying the law. That is, writing it down and putting it in a format that is mathematically discernible, you know, just like alphabetical order kind of thing.
Right.
In a numerical chronological order. And we arrange it in certain titles. Titles deal with specific aspects of the law and life. And so they're all categorized. The problem is that many times it's just completely disregarded.
Sure. Well, I mean, and look what they, not only through the Common Core system, but through the Supreme Court and of course, if Barry could do it, he'd do it. I mean, he would walk in there with special pens and inkwells and rewrite that Constitution in a heartbeat. I mean, they're just, and over the years, look what they've done to us, to it and to us. And,
well,
they've
cheapened the law. They have bastardized the law.
Yep. And they have used the Hegelian dialectic and the Delphi BS, and they have done a number on so many people. I swear to God, that black box is going to be thrown into the out in the street one of these days. If I hear one more person on Fox News or anywhere else call this our democracy, I swear to God, I'm going to take the box and yank it off the wall and just do it. Can't take it anymore.
I think Miss Yola, I think Miss Yola is having a moment, so we're going to play this for Yola.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I mean, do you not feel that way about every 60 seconds of the day?
Yeah.
Like you just need to just give somebody a good old-fashioned ass beating to get their attention.
Yeah,
we know that that's not the right way to go about things. That's not the way that, you know, a polite society is. But folks, I mean, let's face it, the gloves are off. This is no longer a polite society. It hasn't been for some time. Your ass is under attack. Your government, your elected officials have declared war against you.
Yep.
You are the enemy, and you better figure that out pretty damn quick.
I know. It sucks. Oh,
it does indeed.
I know exactly what you're on. Today, I deleted Mozilla.
Good.
Now
I don't think I ever had it on.
Well, I got to find me a new way to get on the line, I guess. And I threw Krispy Kremes out of the house and told my wife, don't buy no more of that crap. I ain't supporting no Islam.
Well, you know, and Bill, I respect your judgment and your opinion. As far as Mozilla is concerned, hey, you know, and I know that Mr. Hannity will disagree with me there, but I think the guy that was CEO of Mozilla had every right in the world to do what he did, but I also think that Mozilla, as a company, had every right to do what they did. You know, it's one thing to be expressing your political ideology and opinion. It's another thing to be representing a company and doing it. You know, if you're representing a group, and it's truly the board members, the people that are stockholders in that company, and if you have an ideology that is antithetical or opposite of what those people want, I think it's their prerogative and their right. They have just as much right as you or I. Do I agree with it? No, I don't like it. But, you know, that's the thing about freedom and liberty, that
right,
we have to be able to support it even when it doesn't do what we'd like it to.
Yeah, it just, I think what people are upset about, Ron, in some instances, is the lack of tolerance by the people who supposedly have invented the word chortle.
No,
you know,
I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, it was kind of like you remember the Al-Aqsa Mosque, right, the Ground Zero Mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an argument that I've seen going on in some of the other things. And we cannot become so focused on
mm-hmm.
what we're against that we
right.
commit suicide to what we're for. And
sure.
when you begin trying to limit the religious freedom or the freedoms of another group because they don't stand for the same thing that you do, then you put in jeopardy your own freedom. Kind of
right.
like we talked about, you know, building a fence down on the border. A fence to keep people out can also be a fence to keep people in. So we have to be
exactly. careful. Very
careful.
And mindful. I think Dr. Paul
yeah.
talked about that.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be a suicide pact here, you know?
Exactly.
But I think there are some things that are beyond tolerable.
Well, sure, and that's what I mean by it's not supposed to be a suicide pact. I mean, you don't tolerate it to the point that it's detrimental to your own health and,
right.
and your own
it's
property,
like,
you know?
It's that,
there
that
are
thing
limits.
Like, don't hurt people and don't take their stuff.
Right.
That was
the, you know, that's really a very eloquent and simple way of putting it. You know, do no harm, as Ron Paul would
right.
say, the golden rule. Do unto others, you know, because what's good for others is good for you. So when you go about wanting to restrict someone else's free speech,
right.
you know.
There goes yours. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're throwing the thing out with the bathwater. Exactly.
Precisely. I mean, so, and it's difficult to keep sight of that sometimes because many
it
of
is.
These issues are very emotionally charged.
Emotionally
and
charged, yeah.
And they're very deeply held beliefs. And I get that. I understand that. And I can sympathize. But at the same time, we can't let our emotions get the best of us.
Run it.
And cause us to cut our own throat.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, then we're down to the level of the what we call the no information folks or the, quote, progressives. Oy,
well,
who run on emotion.
Then we have destroyed the very thing is that we were trying to defend.
Right, right, or preserve, or, right.
Yep.
Hold
I
up.
Mean, it's got to be fair and equal for everyone,
yeah.
And especially, you know, if you find something like that you really, it really ticks you off and you don't like it, That's the one I think you should work to defend more diligently than anything else, because I think it just, to me at least, it gives me a good perspective. I don't like it.
Right, right. Because of the times, the way that these people were raised and the education that they had and the founding of the country, the fact that they had to deal with that little schmuck King George, they were pretty, I don't know how to explain it, even though they had heated battles and duels, they were kind of tolerant of their actual, looking at it principle-wise, because, and they were smart about it, because they, just like you were saying, don't throw it out with the bathwater, because your liberties are going to go down the drain when you take someone else's out. You know, it's that kind of a mentality, and that's why when you read what they said and how they looked at the law and how they looked at private property and other things, especially freedom of speech, et cetera, and the right to protect yourself, that's the kind of mentality they were under. They knew that that golden rule was sacrosanct.
Exactly. It has to be. You right. have to put everyone's equal interest and liberty
sure.
above your own personal beliefs and liberty. That's the only way it works. Either we're
right.
all
yeah.
equal, either we're all
yeah.
equal, or we're not. And if we're not,
yeah,
then, you know, let's
yeah,
just
that,
let's strap it on and let's go out. And,
yeah, that declaration means nothing then, because that was the embodiment. I mean,
yep.
You know,
it's easy to say. It's much harder to put into practice.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, I'm sure they had trouble too. But at least they got it right on paper.
And I mean, you know? Honestly, you look at it. The single biggest hypocrisy that stands out would be slavery.
Oh, I know.
In that era, how can you have someone like a Jefferson who's purely brilliant and recognizes the right of human liberty and the human spirit, and at the same time...
What would he have done? How would he have, you know, tried to free them and instantly educate them and then maybe put them on a welfare ranch, because they, you know, at that point, they would not have survived without that kind of, you know what I mean?
I understand it, and there's no way
that
there's...
I think he knew that.
Well, and you know, we like to think that that's absolutely the case,
let's
Linda. And I certainly...
I know.
I certainly have justified it, you know, that way to myself.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, he had to... I mean, the guy's bright enough. He had to have thought,
yeah.
well, you know, gee. And I think, you know, that's just our way of saying, okay, you know, this is what I think, and you know, it's my opinion, and
right.
it is my opinion. It's the only way I can see justifying keeping another human being
right.
As property in that context, in the context of
sure.
here you are, Thomas Jefferson, you've inherited this property, you've inherited these human beings
right.
as property. Do you just kick them to the curb and say, okay, you're all free, go about your business? You know, it's easy to say yes today, but a
sure.
whole different world at that time. And that
free.
Would have been a certain death sentence for the majority of those
yeah.
people. So, you know, I guess it's just my way of justifying it, and there is no justifying it. It was just flat wrong.
It's horrible. But it was actually, of course, I think we were the last ones to abolish it, but it was worldwide for a long time.
Still is.
Oh, well, yeah, I know, in some places.
Just a different different configuration, perhaps.
Yeah, the debt slavery we have here, the road to serfdom. I get it.
So, man, just been a crazy, you know, has anybody been paying attention to the financial markets?
Oh. What's going on?
Well, you know, Friday, the Dow didn't do so hot Friday. And then we had the weekend. And, of course, the weekend is always the savior, usually, for the stock market. But, you know, it didn't fare so hot today either. And there's a lot of moves going on right now, a lot of shuffling and you know a lot of push. You know, Russia has moved to put in place its own credit card payment and settlement system. When we look at the dollar against all the major currencies in the world, the dollar is once again declining, and the major currencies, the Chinese yuan or renminbi, the Australian dollar, the Canadian loonie, the British pound, the euro, they're beating the socks off the dollar right now. And you got to ask, you know. You know, it's interesting to me because when you look at these currencies, how did this whole structure come about? You know, you got to look at it and say, well, who decided that a Chinese renminbi, it takes 6-7 of those to buy $1? Who made that determination? And why does it keep fluctuating all over the place, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a consequence of the end of Bretton Woods. You know, in the Bretton Woods Agreement, the dollar was the key indicator. The dollar was pegged to gold.
Right.
Everybody else's currency was pegged to the dollar.
Okay.
So gold was the leader. We were second in command, and then everybody else in the world followed our lead. So whatever the United States government did, if we devalued our dollar, then everybody else's currency was devalued at the same time. And so, you know, that wasn't working out real well for us because that gold thing kind of got in the way.
Sure.
And so they did away with the gold thing. Well, then, now, what? Well, everyone's currency can just free float, but it's really not free floating because you had already established a system for, what, 2.5 decades where everybody's currency was tied to the dollar. So all we did really was cut loose the string that tied the dollar to gold.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's currency is still tied to that dollar, see? And that's what I think a lot of folks don't understand. And even though we say we've got this free-floating, free-market currency, this Forex thing, it's manipulated, just like all the commodities are manipulated. Money is a commodity. And the struggle that we're seeing taking place right now in the Ukraine – between Japan and China and North Korea.
Right.
We see an escalation going on with North Korea and Japan. We've seen an escalation going on with China and Japan. And you got to understand something. Japan is one of our proxies. Japan, the U.S. economy, our outlet is Japan. We've owned Japan's economy since we nuked their country. And they essentially run on the U.S. dollar, even though over there they call it the yen. It's all semantics. We control largely that economy, and it's falling apart, folks. They're not talking about it in the news. Everybody's worried about these pings coming from the bottom of the ocean out in the Indian Ocean some damn where. You know, where's Waldo? We're all chasing some mysterious plane. And, you know, this is like Geraldo opening, you know, Al Capone's frickin' vault. We're going to have CNN and everything else out there, and they're going to pull it up, and it's going to turn out to be some, you know, 15-year-old black box from some plane that went down, you know. Oh, my God, we can't believe this. They somehow, something, it was a chemical reaction with the salt water and the cold temperatures that allowed the battery to continue emitting a ping for 15 years. I mean, you know, it's just going to be some total anticlimactic junk. Meanwhile, you know, nobody's paying attention to what the hell's really going on.
No, not at all.
She is the one who found Earhart.
Yeah, I don't think Amelia had a black box on her airplane. I could be wrong. Sorry, I was checking on my e-cigarette here. If it's a, you know, I'm not even going to say what I was thinking. That you know, I was thinking, isn't the first lady over in China as she made the return trip? Never mind. We won't talk about the. anyway.
Oh God! Well, we have to laugh because if we don't laugh, we're. Oh my God.
Doc said, "Don't go there." None of you have got a clue what I was talking about either, and I was not going there, Doc. I was thinking something else entirely, and it had to do with an aviation accident, a plane crash. I was not going where you think I was going. So. Get your mind out of the gutter. You're a damn podiatrist, not a gynecologist. Let's stop this nonsense right now. Uh-oh, I think I made Doc mad.
Uh-oh.
Oh, now he's blushing.
Uh-oh, got it.
You know, I just...
Doc was a she.
Well... I don't know. Doc's internet persona appears to be male, but I'm just going by the image in the chat room. So Doc could be female. I don't know. You know, that's the great thing about the internet. We have some level of autonomy here.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'm sure the NSA could tell us for certain.
Well, yeah. I blew that autonomy because I'm always built strong no matter where I go.
Yeah.
I still feel like it's my country and I don't have to hide from nobody.
I don't try to hide from anybody.
Yes, if they want to come get you or something, they'll do it. My Lord.
Yeah.
They haven't got us yet, so
not too easy.
Now Doc's hiding.
Uh-oh. Well,
is that
I'm going to let you guys wrap it up.
I don't know if that's a burka that Doc is wearing now or what that is exactly.
Thanks, guys. I'm
sorry.
I'm going to go
this
in the chat room.
Like stick on Doc night tonight.
Well, I'm going to back out of here. We're going to back out of here with Linda, but the four of us will return tomorrow night at 7
absolutely.
O'clock.
Absolutely. God bless.
And we're going to talk about Clinton and Jeb Bush and which pile smells the worst?
Two piles, same butthole. Now there's a T-shirt for you. two turds, same. Anyway, well, this is going to go downhill very rapidly. I can see it from here.
Oh yeah, I'll think about drawing it in the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Absolutely, guys. Well, don't forget, folks, tune in here tomorrow night, 7 p.m., for Bill and the guys on the Hoot and Holler Show. And then here again, 7 p.m., Wednesday night, for Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. And I think Thursday night at 6 p.m., Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And, guys, I got to tell you, if you've not tuned in to listen to Miss Terry Rowland, you are missing out. That lady is incredible. We all, of course, here at Patriot Families have a huge soft spot for our resident school mom, Miss Terry. But Miss Terry has a way of telling a story and educating you at the same time. It's no wonder that she's in the teaching profession because she's extremely adept at it. She's very, very good. So I would encourage everyone to tune in for Miss Terry. And then I believe Thursday night at 9 p.m., you should tune in for our good friend, Mr. Michael Brown, with Higher Truth Radio. Mikey always does a good show, and definitely a member and a friend of Patriot Families. Most certainly he is a family member, and we care deeply for Mr. Mike. And, guys, I'm going to cut out of here early tonight. I want to thank everybody. We got a couple of guests listening tonight. Brian from Mortgage Auditing Service up in Illinois, my brother from another mother, Mr. Brian. Always good to see you here. Travis, it was awesome having you in. Miss Yola, FT, Doc, Bill, everybody. Always fabulous to have everybody tuning in. Really appreciate the support. Again, if you guys, if you're not a member over at patriotfamilies.com, I would encourage you to stop by the site, see what we're all about, join up, become a member of the family. It doesn't cost anything, although it should. It should cost something, but it doesn't. It's free. You know, we're having a family reunion, a Patriot Families reunion in July up at Delaney Creek Park up in Indiana. Everyone's invited. The information's on our website. They're going to have some live music entertainment there. A lot of folks are going up there and just going to spend the week. It's a park. They've got cabin rentals. There's a campsite there. There's a lake. You can go fishing. They're going to do a cookout. It's going to be a great time. And, you know, if you can at all see your way clear to get out there in July, we'd love to have you. It's going to be a great event and just a lot of like-minded folks coming together for some fellowship and good music, some good food, probably be a few adult beverages floating around there, I'm sure, always is, and just an all-around good time, a way to get together with people, and it's really just an extended family. More than anything else, it's absolutely, definitely a family setting. So stop by patriotfamilies.com. That's patriotfamilies with a YS.com. And check us out, you know, and definitely get up and meet everybody up there in Delaney Park. Unfortunately, I can't be up there this year. Just a scheduling conflict. Can't get it done. But we'll be up there next year. And you never know. We're going to have some other events, hopefully, this year, maybe after, maybe we'll do a fall meeting. That'd be kind of cool to try and get something together and maybe do it in a different part of the country where some of the other folks can get together. And I think that Joe Biden wants to give you a message about home defense. I'm going to give you this just this one quick little tip from Joe Biden here. Yeah, I think that was it, but I think Joe said a double-barrel shotgun, but that was a shotgun nonetheless, 12-gauge pump, and they are quite effective at home defense, folks, I got to tell you. I think Joe's on to something there, and it's nice to see someone from the left arm of the government party supporting gun ownership. I really like that. And on that note, I think I'm going to take us out. I'm looking for our song here, something that I want to put together. I think this one will work just fine, guys. It's a pretty good message in this one. So I think everybody just keep your hat on straight. Hang on tight because this ride is not over yet.
Didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. Now we might have been better off our own to figure out if daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. And I know that things are different than they were in daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really hasn't changed. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. Stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.